seven stars they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? A resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
What may I get for you this evening?
I think
I'll order for us. We will split the absolute perfection, but instead of anxiety, could I get a flawless side of raised expectations, please?
Of course. And how would you like your circumstances?
Micromanaged? Micromanaged. Oh, and please tell the chef that no matter how well he prepares it, I'll still be dissatisfied.
Will do.
Oh, and can we get some 38% shinier silverware?
Yes, sir.
What a close to, but not quite perfect evening.
Any of y'all know anyone like that? Well, maybe you do. Don't be pointing fingers here this morning. But today we're continuing our series entitled, I Choose. We started it here last week, and what we're talking about is how that our life is made up of some of the choices that we have made. Decisions that we made yesterday impact us today. And the decisions we're making right now impact our future. It's very important for us to get this. And I know, first of all, the greatest choice you can ever make is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, a lot of these other choices, you'll still miss the mark because He's got to be preeminent in our life. Last week we talked about I choose purpose over popularity. And there's a phrase we left you with that I hope stuck, and it was this: you can't please everybody, but you can please God. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we spend our whole life trying to please everyone around us, whether it's the kids you go to school with, your coworkers. What do they think of me? You know, am I cool enough? Do I drive a nice enough car? Are my clothes, you know, just right? Whatever the case may be. Even though we don't ask the question, we live as if what people think is the only thing that matters. And we miss that God has a purpose for our lives. And I encouraged everyone last week, define God's purpose. Let that be what drives you, not just what everyone else thinks about you. That can get old in a hurry, can't it? You get 10 bosses, you can't make them all happy. You've got to choose one. And let's choose God and make Him the preeminent focus in our life. Well, today what we're going to be focusing in on is I choose surrender over control. I choose surrender over control. In the next few weeks, we're going to examine stuff like choosing discipline over regret. I think that's going to be really big because we all have pain in life. The question is it going to be because we're disciplined, or is it going to be because we have regrets because we weren't? We'll look at that. But today we're going to dive into the subject, a big choice that I believe many of us here today we have to make in many areas of our life. It's choosing to surrender something rather than trying to control it. And we'll examine that. We'll look into when we need to surrender, when we do need to control. There's some things we need to be involved in. We'll get into that in the message here today. But before we leave here this morning, what I want us to understand is that God's a lot better at taking care of me than I am of taking care of myself. There's certain areas of our life where we think, hey, I got this. And God's like, hey, man, if you just let go, I'd show you what I'm able to do. You know, we're trying to micromanage what only God can do in our lives. And I encourage you here this morning, whatever you find yourself in today, what situations you're facing, difficulties are arising in your life here today in this present moment, find the way to surrender it to God and allow Him to direct and to guide your steps and watch what He'll do. We're going to be reading a few scriptures here in just a minute. If you'll go ahead and get our first one up here, we'll get to it here in just a moment. But I want to ask a question here, so I need some participation. Thank you, you're in school here this morning. But how many of here, you here today, will be honest with me and tell me this, that there's at least one area of me, I can't even talk today, one area of my life that I'm trying to control? Okay. Everyone else, you just proved my point. You're back there. I'm not raising my hand. That preacher ain't going to tell me what to do. Huh? Just got you. There's always something that we're trying to control. That's not always bad, and I will get to that here in just a minute. And you know, it can be a lot of different things for different people. You can have situations, maybe it's at work, you know. It's my way, it's my time. You can't get it right, just let me do it. You know, that's something I struggle with sometimes. Just get out of the way, I'll do it myself. And you know, trying to control it. Maybe it's your spouse. They're not just like you want them to be. Don't raise your hand. And you're trying to micromanage your spouse, right? They just get that right, we'd have a better marriage. And we try to fix it. We try to work it out. You know, there could be in parenting sometimes we can overboard. Maybe it's at home, you know, ladies. It's got to be just right. Some of you, that's not your problem. We'll discuss that another Sunday. But others, you know, it's, you know, vacuum lines, they got to be perfect. Now, if anybody steps on those lines after I vacuum for the evening, you better watch out. I'm coming for you. You know, it's guys, it's probably not the vacuuming thing. It might be the yard. You know, we want the straight lines, and if we miss it or somebody does it for us and they get it wrong, we're like, I can't believe they missed that. I'm going to tell myself, I used to be, my wife's going to correct me. She's going to say currently. But it used to be in different areas. I don't know what the word is. I was never diagnosed with any disorder, but I was very particular about things. I remember in high school, I'd get up in the morning, make my bed. My mom loved that. And then before I would leave every day, I'd get a vacuum cleaner out, and talking about the lines, I would make sure they were perfect. And if my brother went in the room, so help me, so help him, God, you know, he was going to get it. And I just, you know, I was so, if someone went in my room and stuck their hand on my bed and there was a dent in it when I got back, you know, I get irritated about it. Because, you know, I liked it to be perfect. That was the one area of my life I could control at the moment. And I was doing a real good job of trying to do that. You know, there's different areas, different things maybe you're trying to control. Maybe it's people. You're micromanaging them or manipulating them. If you don't do it my way, you know, if you don't do this, then I'm going to take this. You're not going to get that. You know, we do that with our kids. Hopefully you don't do it with your spouse. But there are different things and people and actions we try to control. I remember as a kid growing up, my Grandma Goodwin, which passed away, I think, 8 to 10 years ago now. It's been a while. We were really close. And a few times in our life, we lived, you know, just a few miles away, so we'd end up eating Sunday afternoon dinner over there. But the thing about Grandma is she was an awesome cook. That was awesome. But also, she didn't want you in her kitchen. And if you got in her kitchen, you did it her way. You know, you don't stir the whipped cream. You don't do that. You know, you flip it, you fold it, you know. If you did it wrong, she lets you know. That was how Grandma was about her kitchen. Now, you load that dishwasher, I want you to take those out and put them in the right way. Like, Grandma, it's going to work. That's not the way I do it, you know. There was a way that she did it. She had more rules than the Pharisees, you know. They had a list this long. She had one this long. You cannot, you know, when you went in Grandma's kitchen. Now, me, it's not the kitchen. It's everything else, you know. It's from the car, it's from our schedules, it's from what we're going to do, where we're going to go. There are things that I have to be careful about because I want to control, I want to make sure things go just a certain way. We all may have that tendency in one area of our life or another. And, you know, I was thinking back before we had kids, it used to be my car. Now you look at it and say, man, does he ever clean his car? But back in the day, even before I moved here, it was perfect. I mean, if you stepped on the rug wrong and put a mark in it, I was over there sweeping it out, you know, making it look right. But kids have a way of changing that. Can all you men say amen? I just bought those WeatherTech mats, put them in, and say, well, take them to the car wash later, you know, clean it up. But there's different things that I've seen in my life. But today what I'm going to do, I'm going to address this big issue. I know it's kind of fun to talk about it, make fun of people, make fun of myself here this morning as we examine this. But in reality, when we try to control things that are not ours to control, it's a big spiritual problem. We'll explain that here this morning. Because when we are trying to do what is not ours to do, and we try to get, you know, in a place where we're trying to do God's job, you know, we think, I've got this figured out. I know what I'm doing, God. This is what should happen. This is what should work. And we try to control something that is not ours to control. Things begin to go south on us. And what it is, we may not recognize it, but we're getting this God complex. And, you know, when God doesn't work something out in a certain way or God allows something to take place in our life, we get mad and we get frustrated because we know what was best. And so we try to control it. And sometimes we get mad at God when he doesn't let us control those things. We're trying to do things that are not ours to control. So this morning what we're going to look at, and we're going to turn to Proverbs 3. We're going to read verse 5 and 6. This is one of the most quoted. It's my favorite verse. At Bible school, they told us to put in here, what's your favorite verse? This is it. One of the most quoted, most popular, most challenging scriptures in the Word of God. So here's something I want to tell you before we read it. I want you to act like this is the very first time you've heard it, okay? And let's think this through. Let's not just, oh, I've heard that a million times. I want us to act like it's the very first time we're reading this here this morning. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. In other words, surrender to God. Surrender to God with all of your heart. How much? Is it half? Is it a quarter? What is it? All of your heart. All right. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Me. I got this, God. I understand what I'm doing. I know what's going on here. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Or another word would be, in all your ways submit to him. The word here, the original word means to know. It's the same word used in the book of Genesis when Adam knew Eve. So it's talking about knowing in an intimate way. So it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding and know God in an intimate way. Know God in a way that you understand what he loves, what he desires, and what he hates. Know him. Trust him when you know him. Acknowledge him. Recognize that he does know what he's doing. So submit to God. And he, not me, he will make your path straight. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. But here's the problem. The more we try to control, the more we're afraid of losing control. Have you ever been there? And the more we're afraid, the more we try to control. Then it happens all over again. The more we try to control, the more we are afraid of losing control. And the more we're afraid, the more we try to control. And before we know it, we've started a vicious cycle of fear in our life where we're afraid, we're terrified, we're trying to control, we're afraid because we can't. And before long, we kind of kick God out of the situation and say, God, I got this. You're just not doing this right. Before long, we have seized control. It's like that country Christian song, Jesus, take the wheel. We're like, no, God, I got it, you know. I got this. You just get out of the way. I got this right here. And we're trying to take a hold of what is best taken care of in the hands of God. It's something that we got to be careful of here today. We're going to be looking at a story here this morning in the Old Testament of control gone bad. The story of Abram and Sarai, who later become Abraham and Sarah. And this is, you look at their life, and we're going to read some here in Genesis 16 here in just a moment. There's a lot of things happen in Abraham's life where he's trying to take control. Like, for instance, one time, you know, him and Sarah, they come into the land of Egypt, and one of the princes of the king sees his wife. He's like, man, that woman's beautiful, and he wants to take her to be his own. And they ask Abraham, so who is this? Oh, it's my sister. Why? He's afraid that they're going to kill him to take his wife. So he was trying to manipulate the situation to get the result that he wanted so he could survive. And you can go read it and you want to find out in the more details. But the most, the biggest event that takes place in Abraham and Sarah's life where they try to take control and it goes bad is in our text here. Because what we're going to find is that Abraham is given a promise by God. He said, you know, God's told Abraham, your seed is going to be like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. You're not going to be able to count them. And he gets to 80 years old. Sarah's 70. No kids. God, you said that we were going to have a lot of grandkids. We don't even have a son or a daughter yet. Something's wrong here, God. And this is where we get into the story that we're going to read here today. God, you're taking too long. We're going to take control of this situation. That starts in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 16. It reads, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abraham, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. In other words, God hasn't given us any kids. It's not working out. She said, so hey, what I want you to do is I want you to take my maid and go into her. Perhaps, notice this phrase, I shall obtain children by her. In other words, I'm taking control of this situation, and we're going to make this happen right now. God's kind of failed on this. Maybe this is my job, and this is what I'm going to do right here. I'm taking control. And it reads, and Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, he'd been there 10 years, the son hadn't come in. God hadn't given the child. He went into her. He slept with her. And she conceived. And you can go on and read it. That Sarah saw she conceived, she was angry and they caused animosity. But we're not going into that here this morning. But here's what happened. God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. God did not fulfill said promise in the time slot that Abraham and Sarah gave God to fulfill the promise in. And so when God didn't do it in their time frame, they said, you know what, God, we are going to take care of this because apparently you don't know what you're doing. Or you forgot. We know you meant well, but you just don't. We're going to take care of this. We're going to seize control of this, and we are going to make this happen. We're going to take it into our own hands. So they did, and it went bad. It went bad in a hurry. You go and read the story, and you'll find out, you know, that Ishmael was born, the son of Hagar. And then Sarai has her baby. What was his name? Isaac. Now, Isaac was the promised son. But what happened? Did these ladies get along really well? Oh, yeah, we both have a son with the same dad. This is really good here. Is that what happened? No. They started going at each other's throat. And then one day Ishmael did something to Isaac that Sarah didn't like. And she went to Abraham and made sure he kicked her out. So here it was, Hagar and Ishmael, they've been removed from the camp of Abraham. And you see the story goes on, this animosity, it didn't stop there. Because if you go and you look at history, Ishmael in the Middle East, it's the Palestinians. You know where that is? Sarah, her son Isaac, his descendants are the Jews in Israel. What do you hear about in the news all the time? The Palestinian and the Israeli conflict. The control seized by Abraham and by Sarah, we're still facing the consequences because of it. There's been animosity between their seed from that time. Also consider this. From the lineage of Isaac comes Jesus Christ. From Ishmael comes the prophet Muhammad. That's where we get Islam. You see, all the turmoil in the Middle East, you can bring it to our nation. The attacks on the World Trade Centers in 2001 are the direct result of someone taking control of what they should have left in the hands of God. Think about it. When we try to take control from God's hands, things begin to happen that were not originally in God's plan. Although God knows all these things, we could get into the sovereignty of God and the foreknowledge of God. But we see here that we are facing and seeing those consequences still today. I don't know what your situation is. You know, it's not a woman named Hagar, I don't know anyone around here. You say two things you can learn from that story. Never, never sleep with a woman named Hagar, and always remember rule number one. All right, no, that's not kind of funny, but y'all get it eventually. It's probably not your temptation, hopefully not, okay? But yours may be something else. Yours may be, you know, that situation that God just hasn't made happen and really you have no control over. Maybe you're looking for the, you know, young lady is the right young man. And you're a Christian, you're trying to follow and live for God. You know the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, but God, he's really cute, you know. He's got that smile, and I think I can change you. Y'all never said that, young ladies, have you? All right? Guys, man, she's good looking. I think I can get her straightened out in no matter of time. And what happens? It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't happen that way. You know, it could be something else in your life. Maybe it's a financial struggle and you know you should honor God and you should do it the right way. But when times get tough, you forget God and you try to cheat or steal to get ahead. And before long, you're facing consequences because of those actions. Maybe it's at work. You know, it's move out of the way. I got this. We talked about that earlier. Spouse doesn't do what you want, and you begin to manipulate. Maybe you're one of those what we call helicopter parents. You ever heard of that? You Hoover? Hope. Johnny comes in. Mommy, can I get the mail? He's 15 years old. Remember this. Yes, son, but don't forget your helmet. You make sure that you take your knee pads when you go out there to that mailbox. I don't want anything to happen to you. You know, when they come home with a science project that needs to be done, you say, well, Johnny, give that to me, and I will do it for you because you can't get anything less than an A. I hope you've never done that before. You know that's cheating, right? You know, maybe it's a different area, you know, your kid's life. I know we got to watch out for our kids, and I'm very protective of my children. But there are areas where we can go overboard. Someone hurt your feelings. Well, let me find their parent, and I'm going to show them. They're going to feel it for a week when I get done with them. You know, y'all teachers, you understand this. Those parents, they get upset, even if their kid's in the fault. Those helicopter parents, they get going. There's something I read, was in the Huffington Post. This is very interesting. I was telling the girls last night as we were driving back from Dallas that they said 25-year-old and under, when they go in for a job interview, 1 in 8 take one of their parents with them. Now imagine this. You're going for a job interview. Is it okay if my mom comes in here with me? Now, I know your mom probably drove you there, but don't take her into the interview. Just a hint. And you're wondering why you weren't getting the job? It might be your mom. I'll just put it there. You know, if I was interviewing someone and they brought their mom with them, I probably wouldn't hire them, you know. I'd be concerned about it. But there are different areas. Maybe we're over-controlling and trying to make sure everything goes our way. I want you to do this for me here today. I want you to name, if you have a pen, write it down, an area of your life or situation that you're trying to control. I want you to do that for me here this morning. Whether it's mentally make a note, if you have a pen, write it down. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's the grown kids you're trying to control. The spouse's schedule, coworkers, your image, future. You're trying to manipulate things that really you have no power over. And it's something that we all have to be aware of. But what I want us to get in today is to choose surrender, to trust God rather than to control. Now, there are things when we got to step in, and I'm going to give you some questions to ask here today. So we can know, is this something I need to control or work on, or is this something I need to surrender to God? Because there are things that is our responsibility, but there's other things that are God's. The first question, there's three questions that will help us choose surrender over control. The first one is this: is it worth my concern? Now, we got to pick our battles, don't we? We can't be worried about every little thing and trying to make it happen the way we want it to. As a pastor, it's something I'm learning. If I want this church to grow, I cannot micromanage because I can't do everything. If someone else is willing to do it and they can do it, you know, efficiently, it may not be the way I want it. I got to let that happen because we want to grow. We want to be able to develop and new people come in and someone be working here. I can't do it all. And you can see that if you're a leader and you're working over a department or something. If you micromanage, you limit your growth. You limit the ability of that thing to expand because you have to be in control. We have to choose our battles. We got to figure out what we can actually work on and what is something for someone else or for God to control. And here's something here. You know, sometimes people that, well, I've surrendered it to God. Really, it was their responsibility. There is a difference. There's a difference between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility. There is a difference. There's some areas where we have to take control. We have a responsibility, but other times we have to surrender it to God. Some things God won't do for you, okay? Man, I really, you know, our finances are in a bad shape, but I really want to go shopping today, you know? Things aren't working out. I would take on a second job, but I really don't want to. I want to stay home and watch TV. God, I give it to you. It's yours, Lord. I know that you're in control of all things. Just work this out for me. Well, that's your responsibility. That's not what I'm talking about here this morning. There are different areas that require different mindsets about them. You know, you're worried about the kids. Your marriage is struggling. You've got to find out which one is something that you need to worry about. Is it mind control? Is it something I need to work on? You know, a lot of young people today, they want good things to come, you know, after they get out of high school and get out of college. But man, they just won't do anything. They're stuck playing their video games all day. Now it's the Pokemon Go. Have you heard of it? People are getting run over by cars and falling in ditches and getting mauled by dogs playing the game. They're losing their time because they're so infatuated with something else. And that area of their life, they need to take control. They need to recognize that's their responsibility. A second question you need to ask is this. First, is it mind to control? Excuse me, is it worth my concern? Secondly, is it mine to control? And thirdly, is it for God alone? And now, there's a verse in Philippians 4 I want us to read here, starting in verse 6. This is a scripture I want you to take to heart. It said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So don't be worried about anything. Don't get anxious. But in every situation, no matter what you're going through, submit it to God. Give it to God by prayer and petition. So take it to Him. Say, God, I need your help in this situation. And do it with thanksgiving. Not, God, I can't believe you failed me last time. We hope you come through this time. But come with rather an attitude. God, I know you're able, and I'm presenting this request to you. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And it goes on in verse 7, and it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So in other words, no matter what your problem is, if you recognize, hey, first of all, is it worth my time? If it is, you know, is it something, you know, what do I need to do? How do I need to work on it? But if it's something I can't control, God, I need your help here. I present this situation to you. I give it to you. I know you're able to do something in it. And it says in the next verse, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, is going to come. It's going to work on your behalf. And God's going to show up on the scene. And your heart and your mind is going to be guarded in Christ Jesus. But we've got to learn what is for God alone. We've got to surrender instead of trying to take control. Because when you try to control what you can't, you begin to get anxious. You begin to get frustrated. You get confused. You can't sleep at night. No, your mind is tormented. Depression begins to set in. You're fretting. You're all worried. And everyone around you knows that your blood pressure starts rising. You know, it's obvious to everyone because you're trying to do what it's God's job to do. You're trying to accomplish what only God can accomplish in your life. Give it to God and He will give you peace. Can you change your spouse? Some of you are shaking your head, yes. You've been working on it. No! You can try. It may work for a little while, but then it's going to bounce back on you and it's going to be worse than when it started. Can God change your spouse? Yes. There's some things you can't change, only God can. Can you heal cancer? Can God heal cancer? You know, a lot of times we worry about what we can't do anything about. We try to control what we should surrender to God. Can you control your kid's future? No. You can try. It's not going to work. Can God make a way for your kids? Yes. And that's what we've got to understand. There are responsibilities we have as parents, but there's also things we can't control, but we can put it in the hands of somebody that knows what he's doing. We may not be able to heal that cancer, so what we have to do is give it to a God who's able, who made that body and is able to remove any sickness from it. There are things we can do, but the things we can't, we need to surrender to God and say, God, I can't do this. I need you to intervene in this situation. There was a time in my life, I'd say within the last 10 years, there was a family member I was very close to. And they started making a lot of really bad decisions. It really was leading down the wrong path. It was affecting their job, losing their job. It was affecting their emotion. They were in depression and even suicidal in nature. And I remember as a family, this person, first reaction is to, I'm going to straighten you out. If you don't, you know, you better stop that. And I remember having a talk with this person, saying, what is your problem? You know, what were you thinking? You know, and you go all this screaming and hollering at them and trying to, if you would just stop, your life would be, but that didn't work. It finally got to the place, you know, we're praying about it and we say, God, you know what? We're going to step back from this and we surrender that person to you. You know, I've done everything I can, the right way, the wrong way. I've said a few things. I'm trying to get their attention that maybe I shouldn't have. God, I can't change them. I give that to you. And I look back on that time, and it was very interesting. In a very short period of time, God began to do a work. Before long, that person was coming to the family and others and saying, hey, God has really been working on me. I recognize this as something. They were setting things right, and now, you know, their life is being blessed. God's doing great things in them. But it only happened when we stepped back and said, hey, you know what? I can't control that person. I surrender them to God. I cannot make them do what I want them to do. I can't make them do what's right. Sometimes what we want them to do isn't what's right. You know, we're just trying to make them do what we want. But you have to get to the place to say, God, I surrender that situation. I surrender that person to you. That's not mine to control. It's yours alone. I place it in your hands. I guarantee you God's a lot better at doing what we can't. God can do stuff in 5 minutes that you couldn't do in 10 years. You could try every single day from the time you get up to the time you go to bed to control a situation. But you give it to God, and in 5 minutes, He can turn something around. We got to learn that we need to surrender things to God instead of trying to control them when it's not ours to control. I came to tell someone here today that you're trying to make that thing happen. You're trying to control something or someone or situation, but there's something that God wants you to understand today that it's not yours to control. It's time you quit worrying about it. and place it in the hands of a God who's able to do something about it. Instead of losing sleep over it, give it to God in prayer. Surrender it to Him and watch what He will do. Going back to our text here this morning, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Are you ready to do that here today? God, I choose surrender over control. God, this ain't working out. I thought somebody would have come along by now. Don't try to manipulate it. Give it to God. God, I wish they would stop doing that. Don't try to control them. Give them to God. God, I wish you would have worked this out a different way. Instead of blaming God, give it to God and watch what God will do in your life. There's something so freeing about surrender. All to Jesus, that song goes. I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Instead of worrying about what you got, what you don't got, whether your spouse is perfect or whether your kids are doing everything that you want them to do, those grown kids, give it to God. Trust Him and allow Him to do what you can't. I want us to stand together across this auditorium here this morning. If I could have the musicians come. But I want you to take that verse to heart today. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Go read Genesis 16 again. Control gone bad. And recognize there's some things that are not your control. They belong to God. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes across this auditorium here today. And I want to remind you of something, that when you choose to follow Christ, you're not in control. The scripture tells us we are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His, which belongs to Him. And today, I believe God is trying to speak to someone that you're in a place in your life where things may not be just like you wanted it. They're not turning out the way you hoped, but they're not yours to control. There's things that you cannot do anything about, but you've allowed them to keep you up at night. You've allowed them to control your life, to control your emotions. You know, the more you try to control, the more you're afraid of losing control. And the more you try to control, until you're in that cycle of fear when you just can't make it. And your mind becomes overwhelmed, and it affects every relationship you're in. It affects your relationship with God. It affects your finances. It affects everything that God has given you because you're trying to control what only God can control. If that's you here this morning and you want to surrender to God, I want you to raise your hand and say, "Brother, I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm going to give it to God." Every head bowed, every eye closed here this morning. See those hands. Anyone else? God, I'm going to give this to You.